It's good to be in the house tonight. Amen.
Amen.
How many glad you came on this Tuesday night?
Amen.
Man, I woke up this morning and the sun was shining. And I grinned all the way, smiled real big. I don't know about you. I just do better when the sun is shining. I don't know if you've ever noticed this about me. I'm one of them positive preachers. I'm positive when it's good, and I'm positive when it's bad. And man, I'm honored to be back. And some of the men told me last night, said, Brother Carl even mentioned, said, man, can't wait till tonight. And I started working on the sermon, thinking about a sermon. And I'm just going to be transparent because I'm a man. You know, it reminds me of the time that I got, they told me in Georgia, they bought me a car. And here's what they told me. They said, if you preach real good when you come down to Georgia, we're thinking about buying you a house. I worked on that sermon. And I worked on that sermon. They didn't buy me no house. Sometimes all your effort is futile. All you're trying to do it. How many know we'll make a mess of life when we try to do it on our own? We try to get it in and do it ourselves. And boy, I'm going to go ahead and help you, men. Your marriage will be better if you'll just learn to tap in and trust Jesus. Amen. Your ministry will be better if you learn how to just let God be God and let Him get the glory. Because, listen, if any good thing happens tonight, it will not be because we come up with a good sermon. It's because the Holy Ghost moved in our midst and done that we cannot do. And I want to obey the Lord. I'm gonna be transparent. I really don't have a long message. I don't know if it's a short message, but I do have a message. And that's a good deal. I've never preached this. I've never, tonight's the first night that I've preached this sermon this way. I need to word it right, Brother Carl, because when you preach every night of your life, there's really not many passages you hadn't preached. Someone asked me one time, said, well, preacher, I thought you evangelists just have 5 sermons. That's not true. We got 8. I wish you wouldn't laugh. If you have your Bible, go to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 weeks ago, Brother Carl, I began to pin this little sermon down. And then last week, I was in Springfield, Missouri. And I preached Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday at Kingsway Free Will Baptist Church. Brother Randy and Sister Rhonda Hicks, there at Kingsway Free Will Baptist Church. And then I left there and I stayed at Brother Randy's. And then I drove about 30 miles north and preached Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So 2 days last week, I began to write this sermon out. And I'm going to say it like this. I really believe that this is what the Lord wants me to preach tonight. And I believe it's for somebody. And I believe it'll be a help to you. If you'll let the Holy Ghost speak to you tonight. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And when you get to verse number 1, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I'd love for you to stand real quick. I'm just going to read 5 verses. And then we'll highlight a few thoughts tonight. I'm going to make you feel, some of you feel better. Last night, I think I had 3 main points. We'll not even get into how many sub-points we had. But tonight, I believe I've just got three things that I want to lay on this pulpit tonight and lay before you. And I hope that it'll help you. Look at verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, beginning in verse 1. David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" He said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto him, the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched. Everybody say fetched. I like that King James word. Fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Let's skip down. I wasn't going to, but let's get verse 7. No, let's go ahead and get 6, 7, and 8. And then I'm really just going to preach, but I need you to see the whole text. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, he answered, 'Behold thy servant.' David said unto him, 'Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread." I like that. "Eat bread at my table continually." He bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the word of Almighty God. I am so blessed. I am so thankful for what you did Sunday morning on Mother's Day, what you did Sunday night, and then what you did last night. God, I've opened your divine book. I have read from heaven's divine library. God, I've preached many, many nights in a row. Physically, I am a little tired. But oh God, when the good preacher, the Holy Ghost, when the power shows up, God, we're able to relate the truth of the Word of God. Would you do something tonight, God, that only you can do? If there's anybody lost, if there's anybody backslidden, if there's anybody growing weary in well-doing, if there's anybody that is frustrated in life, that is bitter, that is discouraged, I pray tonight, oh God, that you would take this simple sermon, these simple principles that you've laid on my heart. God, let it penetrate into the hearts and minds of your people. And God, we'll give you praise. And God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. If you like to write down what the man of God preaches, I just want to simply title the message tonight, Leaving Lodabar. Let me hit the rewind button and say it again. Leaving Lodabar. Now, when you come to this familiar text, Brother Tom Ballard, you know as well as I, this is an Old Testament story that is an example to us, to give us illustration, to help us in our day-to-day lives. Would somebody say amen? And David in this text is a picture of a graceful and a gracious king. Is anybody glad on a Tuesday night that we have a heavenly Father that is a gracious king? A godly king. Now, you look at this text. Do you realize when I came to this text, Brother John, this is the first thought that came to my mind. David has his mind and his eyes and his heart on a target. He's got somebody in mind. You say, where did you get that? Notice the text. He says, is anybody left of the house of Saul? He wanted to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Do you realize Jonathan is David's best friend? And he wants to bless and show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Ziba said this. Ziba said, Jonathan hath a son. David sent and fetched and got Mephibosheth. Matter of fact, Ziba went and got Mephibosheth out of Lodabar. Now you say, man of God, what do you see? What jumps off the page to you? I'm glad you asked. Thoughts like this came to my mind. It's in the heart of the king. The king is looking for a wayward, wandering, broken man that has settled down in Lodabar. I'm about to get blessed by my own prayer. Is anybody glad when you was in Lodabar and your life was broken and your life was busted and your life had come to an end? It seemed like all had gone wrong. Is anybody glad we have a heavenly king that is looking for you? Hallelujah. Now here's what we're going to do. David is looking for Mephibosheth. And here's what I wrote down. It's an unlimited kindness. It's an unreserved kindness. Let's just throw one more out for free. It's an unexpected kindness. Hallelujah. Unlimited kindness, undeserved kindness, unexpected kindness. You begin to roll that over in your mind, and here's what you'll come up with thinking about all that. It's really one word. It's grace. For it is grace. You say, man of God, are you glad God is gracious? Do you believe God is a graceful God? Ladies and gentlemen, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I preach to somebody? I'm glad that grace is available for the white man, the black man, the red man, every color kind of man on planet Earth. Grace is available to you. Now you say, Derek, is that where you're going? No, give me just a little bit of time. So I said, okay, God, he wants to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. And then he gets down to the brass tacks, Brother Tommy, Brother Jimmy, in verse number 3. Look with me. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. He said he wanted to show kindness, not only for Jonathan, but he said, that I may show the kindness of God. How many would agree that's bigger than the kindness of David? I want to show you the kindness of God. Not just the kindness of David, but the kindness of God. This is a story of grace. And you need to see it tonight. Go with me in your imagination. Go with me in your mind's eye. Could we go to that desert, that forsaken land called Lodabar? Could we go to that place where a man is, that everything that could go wrong has gone wrong? Would somebody say amen? And he, Brother Tom Ballard, he is in Lodabar. Now put yourself on this Tuesday night. Put yourself in his condition and his position. Amen. He's lame. He's broken. Life has seemed unfair. Life has stacked up against him. Now you say, Derek, are you ever going to get anyway? Oh, if we're going to appreciate this story, if we're going to get where this story is, we got to see his condition and we got to see his position. And God began to talk to me. And I like this. I'm going to say what I said last night. This story starts off sad, but it ends happy. Amen. Boy, I'm glad on the trail of life, some of our sad shows, some of our sad scenes, I'm glad that if we'll look to a God that is able to fix, able to heal, able to deliver, he can make a sad ending, make it a good ending. Hey, this story is a sad story at first, but it ends well. Would somebody say amen? Now, I don't know your story. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know the backdrop of your life. I don't know the ups and downs of your life. But can I tell you, on a Tuesday night, man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Everybody in here has had ups and we've had downs. Everybody in here has got disappointments. Now, look up here. I don't have my glasses on because I can't tell if you're grinning or not. But I'm going to be real, y'all. All of my life hadn't been on the mountain peaks. I've had some valley lows. I've had some disappointment. And I get a little bit weary when I get around God's kids and we act like nothing's ever gone wrong. We've never had a headache. We've never had a toe ache. We've never had a toothache. Get over yourself, son. We've all hurt. Amen. We've all got pain. Somebody amen that. And so here it is. I said, God, how can I address this? He said, Derek, tell my people this. They can feel the downward pull of a wicked world. We can feel the gravitational pull of such a wicked, wicked world. Would anybody agree that is the world we are living in today? And God began to speak to me when we first met this boy Mephibosheth. Brother Randy, when we met him, he was 5 years old. And I'm going to talk about him. When he was 5, I see this little boy, his grandfather, his grandpa is Saul. His daddy, his name Jonathan. Would somebody amen that? His father, Brother Jimmy, is next in line. His grandpa is the king. His daddy, Jonathan, is next in line to be the king. And I said, boy, God, that's interesting. He said, son, preach to him. He said, tell him that Jonathan is a prince. And that makes little Mephibosheth a prince. He's got royalty. He is somebody. Somebody amen that. And here he is, Sister Sue. Here he is. He's the grandson of a king. He's the son of a prince. He's a prince himself. He's living in royalty. Hey, he's 5 years old. Get this little picture. His legs are working real good. His arms are working real good. He's playing on the marble floor of the king's palace. Grinning and enjoying the sun. Somebody amen that. And laughing and grinning. And life is real good. He's got a daddy. He's got a mama. He's got a grandpa that's a king. And he's having himself a time on the marble floor of the palace. But his life is about to turn upside down. Y'all ain't hearing me. His life is about to go from really, really good to really, really bad. His life is about to go from happy and joyous and grinning and enjoying life. Trauma is about to come and difficulty and drama and trauma is about to come into Mephibosheth's life. And as he's playing Pastor Carl on the marble floor, maybe in the next room, they're having hushed conversations about what's going on in King Saul's life. Because King Saul is a backslidden king. Somebody say amen. And he's so backslidden and he's so confused. He's the one that put David as the captain. He put him as the captain of the king's guard. And now, Brother John, Saul hates David. And here's the story. Hushed conversations. A rebellious grandpa. Now demon spirits are troubling his mind. Now this king that at one time that had enjoyed the blessings of God, now he's being troubled by the demons of hell. And now, hey, maybe little Mephibosheth saw King Saul take a javelin and try to pin David to the wall. His reactions and the way he's living impacted that little boy. Look up here, Grandpa. Look up here, Daddy. Your life impacts your kids. The way you live, the way you do, impacts your kids. And someone said, well, is that all you got? No, I got a little bit more. So here he is. He had put David as the captain of the army. Now he is so confused and backslidden. He hates David. Mephibosheth is thinking about all this. And finally, there was a great battle. The day came, the great battle takes place. King Saul and Jonathan are out there in the battle with somebody, amen. And as they're in that battle, war has got all the great men to battle. It's called all the great men to battle. There is King Saul. There is Jonathan. And they're out there raging and they're out there fighting. And in one day, Brother Tom Ballard, one day, Mephibosheth woke up with a grandpa and he woke up with a daddy. But by that evening, his grandpa was dead. And his daddy was dead. And would you agree with me? Mephibosheth's life begins to unravel right before our very eyes. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Now, I had never seen this, Brother Bill Rogers. Now, the babysitter, whether it was a man or a woman, the caregiver to Mephibosheth, she or he gets the word that King Saul is dead and that Jonathan is dead. And now they're hearing words like this. All of King Saul, all of King's people are dying, and it doesn't look very good. And now the caregiver and now the babysitter looks at Mephibosheth and said, you're the prince. You're going to be the prince. You're soon one day to be the king. Your life is in jeopardy. Your life is in trouble. And whether she or he picked him up and began to run with him in their arms or whether they were pulling it, however the story happened, that little 5-year-old boy named Mephibosheth, he falls to the ground with such velocity, he's got a spinal injury. And that boy will never walk again on planet Earth. That boy will never walk again. Someone says, man of God, what is that? Point one, if you take notes, that's his current condition. Hold up. I feel the evangelist kicking in on me. That's his current condition. Now you say, man of God, what are you talking about? Watch this, Brother Tom Ballard. He's so damaged now. He's so crippled now. He'll never walk again. What? I can hear somebody at Cornerstone say, what does that have to do with me and these people in this revival on a Tuesday night? Well, I'm glad you asked. We've all been impacted by a fall. Woo! If I have to amen this, it's going to take me twice as long. We've all been impacted by a fall. Matter of fact, in the truest of sense, Adam and Eve fell in the garden to sin. Somebody amen that. And because of that sin, sin brought a curse upon planet Earth. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hey, look up here. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. Everybody in here has been impacted by the fall. We've all been hurt by the fall. We've all been wounded because of a fall. And God said to me, I want you to preach about his current condition. This little boy was playing in the king's palace on the marble floors, and life was real good. But the day the male nurse or female nurse dropped that little boy, would you agree with me? His life changed from that day on. And I said, God, how do you want me to preach it? He said, Derek, by the falling of man, temptation and sin is out of hand on planet Earth. Everything fell and everything changed when man sinned. Would somebody amen that? Now, hey, do you realize, and we're always, Brother Carl, we are always tempted. We are always tempted when tragedy comes, when life takes an unexpected turn. We're always tempted to blame somebody else. We're always tempted. I mean, in the beginning, Adam said, it's that woman you gave me, Lord. Don't you act so spiritual. We all look for somebody else to blame. Have you ever noticed nobody wants to take responsibility? Have you ever been around a group of people and nobody wants to pick where you go eat? Because if it isn't any good, nobody wants to take responsibility. They pick that outfit. Well, that's just free material. Hey, I'm talking about his current condition. And if I don't hurry just a little, I'm going to be here too long. And so I'm not going to stay here all night. We are all victims of our own fall. We know. Everybody look at her. Let me put my glasses on. We all know how to sin. We're pretty good at it. If sinning was in the Olympics, we'd all be gold medalists. Because we all know how to sin. We were born into sin. Making bad choices, it all added up and explains that this boy is handicapped. Would somebody amen that? And he's lame and he's living in Lodibar. All have been handicapped. And sin crippling. We've got this deal called sin crippling of condemnation. The crippling of compromise. Handicapped of hopelessness. Lonely and lustful in Lodibar. The Bible is very plain. Brother Tom Ballard, that little word Lodabar means a desolate. It's a desolate town in the desert on the other side of the river, on the outskirts of Israel. Oh, if you could see it. If you could see it, brother. Brother Randy, Pastor Carl, it is a barren land. I mean, it's a wasteland, if you please. I studied the terminology of that little word, Lodabar, because if we're going to get his current condition, we got to get it all. Lodabar means this. Write this down if you're a note taker. One definition of Lodabar means no bread. The other definition is no nothing. I said, okay. He said, Derek, I'm not done. It's not only no bread, no nothing. He said this. He said, it's no pasture. Amen. And I said, God, how can I make that relevant? He said, there'll be people tonight that come to revival at Cornerstone that are disabled by discouragement, that are disabled by defeat, that are disabled by depression. Without God and without Christ, that is the picture of me, and that is the picture of you. Exiled into a wasteland, a no bread, a no pasture, a no nothing land. And here he is. There he is broken. There he is crippled. There his life is wasting away. Do you realize that one day he was in the king's palace? Now he's down there in Lodabar. Would you agree, Brother Jimmy? He's living way below privilege. Can I tell you, I get weary when I look at people in their current condition. And I want to tell them, there's help. There's hope. There's healing. There's a remedy. There is an answer. There is a resurrection. There is a God that can change your outlook. Woo. I'm trying to stay calm. It's Tuesday night. I'm not done. Here's where I'm going. He's not enjoying the great feast at the king's palace. He's living in exile. He's living by himself. He's all alone. His world is empty. His world is crashed around him. Everything that could go wrong has went wrong. And he's living down there in Lodabar. Now, Brother Jim, here's where I'm going. I said, okay, God, Lodabar. Everybody, this is real deep. Low. Everybody say low. That's a pretty good word. Mankind, when you think he can't go any lower, he'll break your neck, prove it he can. He's lost in Lodabar. Can I give you the best news I got tonight? God loves the lame. And God loves the low. Hold up. And God loves the lost. Oh, I go overseas and I get to preach to sinners. Hey, you know what's beautiful to me? I always tell people, they say, Brother Derek, do you get to preach to sinners in the American church? Oh, yeah. Lots of folk go to church that's lost. But God loves the low. God loves the lame. And God loves the lost. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter the ups and downs and the brokenness of your life. I see that is your current condition. I preach for 5 or 10 minutes and nobody's going to tell me any different because I'm the guest evangelist. And I don't have my eyes on. I can't see the clock out no way. So here's what I wrote down. I said, okay, God, I see his current condition. Then he gave me this. He said, now, son, Don't just let it all out of the bag. Hold on to some of your juice. I said, okay, God. I said, I see his current condition. And then God gave me this. Look with me at the coming change. I didn't even get an amen. Brother John, if anybody on the planet should have amen, it is you. I needed an amen. I love Picky. He can handle this. He's got a Razorback shirt on. I already like him. Don't get offended. We can't beat nobody. Don't you roll your eyes and get mad at us. I get tired of folks making fun of Arkansas. We're still hogs. How in the world we get on that? Just Sister Sue, I wish you wouldn't have heard that. She prays for me every day, and I know that prayer she'd been praying, it didn't have anything to do with the hogs. Somebody, man. I just got a little distracted. Squirrel! I'm back. I'm here. Sister Marlene, don't you start laughing. You got tickled the other day and you didn't get any of my sermon. I'm going to give you the notes. Hey, here it is. The coming change. Mephibosheth doesn't realize what's about to happen. And Ziba, he says something like this. There's a king that's asking about you. Woo! I'm about to take a lap around the building. Now, I know some of y'all gonna look at me, but I'm feeling like a lap. Now, I've never done it because I don't want to be judged. No, I'm not worried about it. He doesn't realize the coming change. Listen, Mephibosheth doesn't realize there is a king that is asking about him. He doesn't realize there is a king that knew his daddy. There is a king that knows right where he's at. He doesn't know that his life is about to change. I come by to preach to somebody. Oh, you've been majoring on your current condition. But I come by to tell you something is about to change. Something is about to change. Hallelujah. I see a coming change in your life. Now you say, is that it? No, that's not it. That's not all. Mephibosheth doesn't know there's a search party. Woo! Man of God, are you getting blessed? It's bad. Brother Larry, you're not supposed to get blessed by your own preacher. But that's blessing me. He's got to the place. Mephibosheth has got to the place. Somebody's here tonight. Mephibosheth has got to the place where he wonders, does anybody care? Amen. Does anybody know the hurt that I live with every day of my life? Amen. Does anybody know the trauma and the drama that I went through? I was dropped. But watch this, Pastor Carl. There is a king that's inquiring about you. And everybody look up here, because I'm going to make this relevant. I think tonight that in this story, I'm the servant named Ziba. And I've been dispatched from the King of all kings to come down here to Roland, Oklahoma, and tell you there's a king that's sitting on his throne and he's been inquiring. He's been asking. He's got a search party. He's looking for fallen man. He's looking for broken ladies. He's looking for wounded people. I am Ziba, and I've been dispatched from heaven. Woo! Hey, man of God, is that it? No, we just talking. We just visiting for a minute. Mephibosheth, the king, is asking about you. And he wants you to come to his palace. He wants to bless you. He wants to show you kindness. He wants to show you grace. But I want you to consider for just a moment before I give you the meat and taters of what I'm on preaching. And I promise, I guess 5-10 more minutes max. And I mean, if you're gracious, it might, I'm not even going to say that. I'm going to say at least 10 more minutes. Now I can tell you're not in a hurry. But Mephibosheth is living in a place of regret. He's living in a place of remembrance. He's living in a place of rebellion. He's living in a place of rejection. He could have said, it's my grandpa's fault. Amen. He could have said, it's my babysitter's fault. Amen. Everybody look up here. You blame everybody in your family. Amen. But there's still a king that's still looking for you. Oh yeah, you can talk about how bad it was and how hard it was and how empty it was and how tragic it was and how many nights you cried yourself to sleep. Yeah, I get all that. But there's still a king in heaven that is looking for you, and he loves you, and he wants to change you. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. And I said, God, how can I make it plain? He said, Derek, the coming change, but watch this. There's a king that cares about you. An invitation to come. Lodabar, to come out of Lodabar once and for all. Yeah. Moving out, going away from. The coming change only takes place if you leave where you are. You got to quit living in Lodabar. You got to quit living in no bread, in no nothing, in no pasture. Do you not realize just over the hill, just over the holler, just through the valley there, there's a king over there that wants to love on you, wants to bless you, wants to wrap his arms around you, wants to have relationship with you. There is a coming change. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Now, I wrote this word down, fetching. It means to accept. Means to receive. Means to acquire. Means to bring. Means to be taken from. Taken out of. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm, but you're doing good. The urgency in that little King James word, fetch. The Lord is saying, go get him. Amen. Go get her. Amen. It's time for a change. It's time to say goodbye to the wasteland. That weary land of broken dreams and broken hurts and pain and misery and woe. Is anybody listening to me? And here's the line of the night. Here is the line of the night. I hear you say, but I've been living here so long. This is all I know, and this is all I've ever known. But I'm going to give you something you've never thought of. Isn't there something inside of you that is crying out for a change? Isn't there something inside of you that says there's got to be more than doubts and fear and pain and brokenness and hurt and misery? There's got to be more than this. Yeah, there is. Oh, I see his current condition, but blessed be the God. I see a coming change. I close the message. Does that mean anything? No. It just means this. Ziba has been dispatched. I believe, Brother Carl, I can't prove it. We can't disprove it. I believe Ziba gets the king's chariots and pulls up at Mephibosheth's front door. And the dust settles. And Ziba goes up. Mephibosheth sitting on the front porch. Sitting in his hurt. Sitting in his doubts. Sitting in his misery. Mephibosheth. I've been sent from a king. What? I've been sent from the king. And your daddy was my best friend. And I love him. I want to show you. I come here speaking on behalf of the king. And the king had a friend named Jonathan. Anybody listen to me? And I have been sent here to show you grace and show you kindness. Everything revolves around, write this down, everything revolves around the kindness of the king. Now here's my final point. I can't believe, I'm just as shocked as everybody in this planet. I cannot believe I'm already, that's the fastest I've ever preached this sermon. It's the only time I've ever preached it. So it's a record. There is his current condition. There is his coming change. Write this down. My last point. There is a challenging choice. There is a challenging choice. Mephibosheth is sitting on the front porch. Ziba stretches out his hand, Brother Randy, and said, I've got a proclamation from the king. You've been invited to the king's palace. But the only way you can get what the king has is you've got to make a choice. To believe what I'm telling you is the truth. You can stay here in your shame, in your guilt, in your brokenness, in your crippled, damaged legs. You can sit here and die, or you can go with me and live. Do you get what I'm saying? You can stay here, and whether you believe it or not, I'm telling you, when I read this, pull up verse 7. I'm in 2 Samuel chapter 9, go to verse 7. Yeah. David said unto him, fear not. So Mephibosheth has come to David. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Leave that up there for just 1 second. Would you agree with me? If you just heard that news, oh yeah, I'd cut. Yada. Well, you said the man can't dance. Well, you could dance in your head. I'd have let her rip. That's why I'm labeled. They've labeled me my whole life. I'm over it. Brother Carl, would you agree if you just heard that from the king? Would you not have been happy? Pull up verse 8. Watch verse 8. And Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" He just heard the greatest news that I've ever heard for anybody on the planet. And here's how he responds. "What is thy servant that thou should look upon me, such a dead dog as I am?" You know what God gave me there? Mephibosheth really didn't hear what the king said. Can I tell you, I'm preaching to a church world that really don't hear what the king's saying. The king is saying, "I want to embrace you. I want you to sit at my table. You're never going to have to feed yourself. We're always going to put food on the table, and you're going to get to eat there for the rest of your days." My God, is anybody listening to me? Why would you even look on somebody like me? It's obvious you didn't hear what I just said. I love you, and I want you to sit at my table. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to get to the table, you've got to make the challenging choice. And I'm going to tell you what the enemy's going to do to you tonight. He's going to tell you you got plenty of time. I don't know if you watch any news or not, but I hate to shock you. You don't have plenty of time. Brother John, Brother Carl, the countdown has begun. And I'm going to tell you the truth. This is a process in this story. I see his current condition. I see the coming change. I see the challenging choice. But I'm going to give you something tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, this sermon is not just for sinners. We got lame Christians. We got broken people that are saved and on their way to heaven. But they're hurting and they're wounded. And they need to make a choice. Choose help from the king. Stand all over the room. Being a player, I did, sis, would you help me tonight? I'm sure you already picked it. Go ahead and play softly when you get it. Father, I thank you tonight for your help. I thank you for your touch and your power. God, we're leaving Lodabar. We're leaving Lodabar. Spiritually, we are leaving Lodabar. We're going to the king's palace. Grace made a place at the table. Grace made a place at the table. Save a sinner. Bring a wounded man, a wounded lady. Bring them to the altar tonight. In Jesus' name.